As you, those of you who are up, keeping up on this topic realize this is a continuation of work Stanley started years ago or worked on years ago with some a few other people. And in fact, some of this data is data which was collected while he was still research leader there at the lab, and part of it is data that's been collected since then. They're trying to get my timer started here. Okay, good. A little bit of background and history in here, although I didn't want to disagree with Andy Jordan on any of this, but bale packaging is a in the U.S. is controlled by regulations, and these rules are agreed to by all these different parts of the system. And, of course, they don't always agree real well. It makes for some interesting meetings. I would say, in general, producers and ginners have to put that bag on the bale. They're most interested in price. They just like to have it easy to apply and a low price. Warehousemen, they typically will move these bales several times, some of them many times. And they have to patch some of the holes they make in them or that get to be made in them. So they're most interested in durability, I would say. The merchants want the bales to be protected, so when they arrive at the warehouse or at the mill, they'll be okay. The mills are most concerned about lint contamination and then bagging disposal. So why does anybody care about bagging permeability? Well, it's sort of missed by everybody's main interest. But it's pretty important. If the cotton is slightly too wet and you have a permeable bag, some of this moisture can leave and it'll get out of there before you damage any of the cotton much or at all, really. And you end up with better lint quality. That's to everyone's advantage for that. And often the cotton is drier than necessary for the mill. If you have a permeable bag and you store these bales in the Mid-South during the winter or lots of places in this country, actually, during the winter, it'll pick up moisture from the air, and that higher moisture lint, of course, has more strength and has a greater bale weight, which I guess we shouldn't get into that. Bagging permeability has not received major emphasis, affects, I would say, all segments of the industry, and my main interest here is a better way to understand a kind of a complex issue and propose a way that maybe we can communicate a little more clearly about this permeability of the bagging. This is a picture from our lab from the early 40s when the industry was talking about going from jute covering on the left side here to the newer size bale. It's the same weight, but it's more compressed bale covered with burlap, the newer covering. Since then, the industry has pushed to go to more to woven polypropylene, which I am going to use WPP as an abbreviation. It's a pretty durable covering, fibrous, and originally it wasn't coated, and then it would get cut, and that would cause some loose fibers that people were worried would get into the lint. So they started coating it, and they were coating it with polyethylene. And so that made the bags less permeable. They tried coating in strips, but still left strips that were permeable, but they also would cause could have fibers get loose, get in the lint. So people didn't like that. And finally now, the linear low-density polyethylene has become quite popular. It's lower price, lower weight, and but it has some weaknesses, mostly strength, and especially when you punch holes in it to make it more permeable, it really loses more strength. So there's a lot of discussion going on. This weight change of the bales with different bagging is related to moisture movement into the bale. I'm getting now more to what we did, caused by ambient conditions. And this moisture is moving through the bagging. So it's related to properties of the bagging. In parts one and two, there were three different kinds of bagging used. Strip coated woven polypropylene. This is strips with the coating and then strips without on the back. Fully coated, which became popular for a while, and then fully coated with pinholes punched in it. Different patterns of pinholes but have been used. But anyway, holes punched in it to let air go through. This is a picture of some bags fully coated. With part one, they had 9 bales with 3 different kinds of bagging. They were initially fairly dry, stored in a high relative humidity and temperature for 186 days. And then 3 of those bales were opened, tested for moisture content, and the remaining 6 bales were stored for a year at a low relative humidity and temperature. And I didn't analyze near all this data, but I used a little bit of it. This was Stanley's data. This is a sample of a bale used in our later, the testing part 3. It's a low density polyethylene bag, and what's, like I said, is pretty popular right now. In part 3, I included some bales with no bagging at all. I was interested, what's the ultimate in this moisture transfer? And so a bale, UD bale, these are all UD bales, with no bagging would be the ultimate. And then some of these are test type bagging. And so we had different hole patterns in these low density polyethylene bags. And then this woven polypropylene with gussets, the 3.5-inch semicircular gussets, those are pretty popular now too in the industry. So in this part, we had 12 bales with 4 different bale bagging plus no bagging and stored in controlled relative humidity and temperature for 74 days, low moisture to begin with, stored for 74 days. Bale weight data were collected. Periodically went in there, someone went in there and weighed each one of those bales, keeping the relative humidity and temperature constant. This is the room we used for this test. Scale down at one end, they had a little lift mechanism to lift the bales up in a trolley to move them over to the scale and set them down and lift them back up. We've changed some of the conditioning equipment in there, but still the same room we used in part 3. Then I looked at modeling this weight change. Assumed the weight changes were exponential with time. This is usually the case in agriculture products. This weight change rate was fitted with statistics, and we estimated what the final bale weight and the total weight change would be based on the data. And I used in these plots a bale weight ratio, which to the engineers is probably not going to be too strange, but to the rest of you might be. And this ratio is how much weight do we think it's going to change, or is it going to change yet? It hasn't changed that much, divided by the total weight change. So at the beginning, that number will be a 1. And after a long time, when it's changed all the way it's going to change, it'll be a 0. So this is an exponential curve that goes from 1 to 0. This is a theoretical model. It's based on theory of moisture transfer. The theory says at the beginning there should be many terms. I don't see my arrow up here. There should be many terms in this equation, and after a while, one term is good enough. Exactly how long a while depends on several things, and we're not going to get into that at all. But I didn't include the data at the beginning. I just fit the data out here in this part of the curve and then plotted the data at the beginning to show you what it was. I think these data fit pretty well. This is part 1, all 9 bales, and with the same shape, the boxes had the same type of covering. And if you remember, there were 3 types of covering. This one was fully coated, and these 2 had different kinds of holes in them. Now in part 2, this was for about half a year, and then part 2, they put it in a low moisture to try to make it dry, and I included the same weight ratio. It makes the curves look the same, even though now the bales are increasing in weight. And this line has dropped, and my thought was probably in all this handling, they've damaged the bagging because this was an impermeable bag. The other 2 lines are not statistically different from the rising moisture. There's no theoretical reason why they should be different. So I propose probably it's the same. And some holes were in the bag, but we don't have those bags anymore, so can't say. This is part three, the part that where I collected the data. And this is the three bags with gussets, three different bags. And the point here is how well the three different bags change together. Here we had a little bit of trouble with conditions, and you can see it responded pretty quickly. And but the line fit, I thought, real well. This, I'm not sure if I skipped one or not. Well, that's good enough. Running out of time. This is a plot of part three, all of the bale bagging types. And you can see this line down here. Where'd the arrow? Here it is. This is with no covering. These little diamonds, open diamonds with no covering. You can see how fast the moisture changes with that. And the slowest one is this polyethylene bag. Now I don't want to go on yet. Polyethylene bag with some really pretty small holes. I didn't expect it to be the slowest, but it clearly was. And so this is the slowest. These were so close together you could hardly tell them apart, and statistically they were not different. But again, the point here is to see how reasonably well the data fits. Now, there's a number I want to use. I want to promote half time to equilibrium. It's the time it takes for the bale to change half the weight that it's going to change. And this has a number of interesting engineering properties. It's a simple number. It has related to physical the property, how long it's going to take. And going back to this curve, you can see for no bagging, half of the way, half of the change is here where it hits this line. It's about 10 days. After it changes that half, it'll go down another half. That's at 20 days. So it changes on a very consistent, regular basis. This is a plot of basically all of the data, although I left out some of the baggings that were very similar that lie between these two lines right here. So the ones that aren't actually drawn on here lie between those two and are not statistically different from those two. And you can see there's a consistent difference between different types of bagging. And this kind of a number, the time it takes to get to halfway point, would be a number that would give you a pretty good idea what's going to happen. And although this is a theoretical development and a special test, this physics applies to all bags, all bales of cotton. And they're going to change, depending on the conditions in the warehouse, at a rate related to this, the bagging. This is a table of these bagging numbers, all the way from 102 for the least permeable, though, that we've tested so far, down to 10 days for no bagging. And these ones in the middle, again, are not statistically different from each other, but do vary. So we tested quite a few bales. They were stored in relative humidity, constant relative humidity and temperature as well as we could. Did have some loss of conditions for short periods of time. Bale weights were recorded periodically. We calculated this weight ratio, modeled the data. I say that the data fit well. Different bales with the same bagging responded about the same, which is important. It ought to. And these numbers for the half time to equilibrium varied from 10 days to 102. And I think this is a relatively easy number, physically related to what's going on, that could be used, and it's a little easier to understand than some of the permeability numbers that scientists should use, engineers should use, but maybe in the industry they might not want to use them as much. So thank you.
Does anybody have any questions? We still have a few minutes. Anybody have a question?
Yeah. Punch. Yeah. They were not cleanly, the pinholes were really hardly punched. I mean, they're hardly holes at all when you look carefully at them. And the punch wasn't, it wasn't a nice you know, like a lot of the punched holes are the size of a pencil eraser, and it's completely punched out, or even larger. Some of them are twice that big. They weren't well punched. They weren't well, the pinholes were not really clean like you often see either. It was in polyethylene, so it when you made it, when they made it, it probably shrank back around the hole some. It just it wasn't a very big hole. And there were a lot of them, but they weren't big. These are all bags made by manufacturers that have been submitted for consideration by the packaging committee, or else they are approved bags that we bought commercially or obtained commercially that are, you know, out there for use, already approved. All the bags that are presented for approval are tested in different ways, and this is one way they could be tested. Andy. That was the whole, that one was the whole bale. That information should be in the paper. And there's an ASABE paper eventually going to be, I hope it'll be published eventually, that has even more engineering development for the engineers that are interested in the engineering development behind what's going on, a little more theory, and certainly the details need to be in that. I believe they are.